Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19, The Appearance of Shukadev Goswami. Text 12. Sukha Upavishteshu Atha Teshu Bhuyaha Krita Pranamah Sva Chikirshitam Yat Vijnapayam Asa Vivikta Chetah Upasthitah Agre Abhigrihita Panihi. Sukhopavishtesh Jvathate Shubhuyah. Krita Pranamah Svachikirshitam Yat. Vijñāpayāmās vivikta cetā upasthito gṛhe bhigṛhīta pāṇihi sukhopaviṣṭeṣvathateṣu bhūyaḥ. Krita pranamah svachikirshitam yat. Vijñāpayāmās vivikta cetā upasthito gṛhe bhigṛhīta pāṇihi sukhopavishteshvathateshu bhūyaḥ. Kṛtat pranāmah svachikirshitam yat. Vijñāpayāmās vivikta cetā upasthito gṛhe bhigṛhīta pāṇihi sukhopavishteshu
Vathateshu bhūyaḥ. Krita pranāmah svachikirshitam yat. Vijñāpayāmās vivikta cetā upasthito gṛhe bhigṛhīta pāṇihi Teshu atha teshu bhūyaḥ. Kṛtat pranāmah svachikirshitam yat.
Ladies, please.
Kirshitam yat Vijñāpayāmās vivikta cetā
సుఖ హ్యాపీలీ ఉపవిష్టేషు ఆల్ సిట్టింగ్ డౌన్ అథ దేరపాన్ తేషు అంటు దెమ్ ద విజిటర్స్ భూయః అగైన్ కృత ప్రణామః హ్యావింగ్ ఆఫర్డ్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ స్వ హిజ్ ఓన్ చికీర్షితం డిసిషన్ ఆఫ్ ఫాస్టింగ్ యత్ హూ విజ్ఞాపయాం విజ్ఞాపయాం ఆస సబ్మిటెడ్ వివిక్తచేతాః వన్ హూజ్ మైండ్ ఈస్ డిటాచ్డ్ ఫ్రమ్ వరల్డ్లీ అఫేర్స్ ఉపస్థితః బీయింగ్ ప్రెజెంట్ అగ్రే బిఫోర్ దెమ్ అభిగృహీత పాణిహి హంబ్లీ విత్ ఫోల్డెడ్ హ్యాండ్స్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ఆఫ్టర్ ఆల్ ద రిషీస్ అండ్ అదర్స్ had seated themselves comfortably, the king, humbly standing before them with folded hands, told them of his decision to fast until death. Purport. Although the king had already decided to fast until death on the bank of the Ganges, he humbly expressed his decision to elicit the opinions of the great authorities present there. Any decision, however important, should be confirmed by some authority. That makes the matter perfect. This means that the monarchs who ruled the earth in those days were not irresponsible dictators. They scrupulously followed the authoritative decisions of the saints and sages in terms of Vedic injunction. Maharaj Parikshit, as a perfect king, followed the principles of consulting the authorities even up to the last days of his life. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya చక్షురుమీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగొరవే నమ శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగొర శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగొరున్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాం సహగణలలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమో ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే ముఖం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యత్ కృపాతమహం వందే శ్రీగొరూన్ దీనతారిణం వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధోభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః నమో మహావదాన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామనే గౌరత్వశే నమః పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశక్తికం
आराध्यो भगवान व्रजेश तनयस तद्धाम वृंदावनम रम्या काचिदुपासना व्रजवधो वर्गेणया कल्पिता श्रीमद्भागवतम प्रमाणममलम प्रेमापमर्थो महान श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभोर्मतमिदं तत्रादरः नापरः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण। इट इज एन ऑनर एंड प्रिविलेज टू हैव द ऑपर्चुनिटी टू स्पीक समथिंग अबाउट कृष्ण इन द असेंबली ऑफ वैष्णवस एंड हियर in Sri Mayapur Dham. Before I begin, therefore, I beg the blessings and good wishes of all the assembled Vaishnavas and particularly my seniors, superiors who are present here in large numbers. With all of your blessings, I hope I can speak something that is meaningful and constructive. Because this is the last day of the ISKCON Leadership Sangha. In the last few days we have been hearing much about leadership. I was also asked to speak something in connection with leadership or the qualities of a leader. I thought I would focus on how a leader, or anyone for that matter, should consult authorities before taking important decisions in life. Important decisions in any sphere of activity, whether it's one's personal life, one's family life, one's temple activities, temple management, whatever it may be. There is a process for arriving at decisions, an authorized process. And here we see King Parikshit setting the example. He comes here in a very humble spirit with folded hands in front of the assembled Vaishnavas and asks them for their opinions on the decision that he has contemplated. Even though he has decided he wants to do that, but he nevertheless wants to ask them, is that right? Is that the right thing that I'm doing? Of course, King Parikshit was confronted with the mother of all decisions, because when we confront death, we have to take a decision on how we're going to do it. What should we think about? What should we worship? Who should we remember at this time? So all of us are confronted with decisions, small decisions, big decisions, important decisions, not so important decisions, every day of our life. Right from the prasadam time, should I take one more chapati or not? We have to think, is it good for me, is it not? Right down to big decisions in life. And all these decisions are taken by devotees in consideration of one thing and one thing alone, whether immediately or remotely or ultimately, and that is, how is it going to affect my Krishna consciousness? How is it going to affect my service to Krishna? If I eat one more chapati, am I going to fall asleep in my japa or whatever it is? We always think, is it going to spoil my health and then I won't be able to serve Krishna better? So we're always taking decisions all day long throughout our life. And many of these decisions are not easy. I remember on one particular day, two different devotees approached me a couple of hours apart. One devotee said, "I want your advice. I'm thinking of becoming a brahmachari, but I'm in doubt. I'm not confident whether I can make it. It seems a risky decision. Should I do it or should I not?" Well, I took him through a process for some time. And then after some hours, I met another young man who came and said, "I want your advice. I'm thinking of getting married, but I'm not sure. Will it work? Will it not work? It's a risk." So being a brahmachari is a risk. Being a grihastha is a risk. Actually, everything in this material existence is a risk. Breathing is a risk, especially when you go to major metropolitan cities and there's so much pollution. Certainly, coming to Mayapur from Calcutta is a risk. Getting into a car, walking on the street, flying an airplane, doing anything in this material world is a risk. But what to do? We have to survive. So we have to take decisions. So we have to take decisions that are right. Right decisions means decisions according to Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. According to what Krishna wants us to do. Of course, that we say because we are devotees. Not everybody thinks like that because they may not be devotees. So of all the decisions that we have made in our life, some are good decisions. And some perhaps in retrospect we may imagine they are not so good decisions that we made. We may regret, we may lament about them. But I will ask you one question. And that question is common to every single one of us sitting here in this room. What is the best decision that you ever made in your life? And that answer will be common to every one of us here. What is that best decision that you made, ever made, and you possibly ever could make? We became devotees. That's the best decision we could ever have made in our life. And that is the injunction of the scriptures. You must become a devotee of Krishna. There is that verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Srila Prabhupada used to quote often. Smeram bhangi traya parichitam sachi vistirna drishtim vanshi nyastadhar kishalayam ujvalam chandrakena govindakhyam haritanum mitah keshi tirthopakante ma prekshishthastava yadi sakhe bandhu sange stirangah. This is one gopi telling another gopi, "My dear friend, if at all you value your material life, if you value all your relationships in this world, then beware. Don't you dare go to the banks of the Yamuna on the Keshi Ghat, where there is that person called Govinda, who is standing there in a threefold bending form, placing his flute to his lips, and his face is shining, radiant, in the light of the full moon. And he's standing there with his sidelong glance, smiling very beautifully. Don't go there." So the acharyas have explained that this is an example of a literary ornament called a vyaja stuti. Stuti means to praise. So vyaja stuti is when you praise that which is to be condemned and you condemn that which is to be praised, with the understanding that the audience is going to understand that. So it's meant for a certain caliber of audience. So Rupa Goswami here is saying, or he's quoting the gopis as saying, that actually you should be doing that. You must do it. It's an imperative. An imperative is something that doesn't give you a choice. So through the Vyaja Stuti, you condemn something that actually you should be doing. That's the most admirable thing and desirable thing in life. So approaching Govinda is the primary decision of our life, the most important thing we could ever do in our life. Of course, there will be others who will tell us, not in Vyaja Stuti, will tell us, don't go to Krishna, don't go to ISKCON, don't go to the devotees. But as Narad Muni says in the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when we get such advice, then we should simply say, yes, 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 but do what we have to do. In any case, so we become devotees, and we may think, well, you're saying that the best decision in life is to become a devotee, and you've talked about risky decisions in life, but it appears that becoming a devotee is also risky. What if one falls down from Krishna consciousness? It's a risk. There's a risk of failure. But of course, Krishna has mentioned in the 2nd chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Neha bhikramanashosti pratyavayo na vidyate svalpamapyasi dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. There is no loss, no diminution in taking to Krishna consciousness. Even if there is a calamity, one doesn't lose what one has gained in Krishna consciousness. And this is exactly what Narad Muni tells Vyasadeva in the 1st canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tyaktva svadharmam charanambujam hare bhajanna pakvotha pate tato yadi yatrakva va bhadram abhudamushyakim ko vata aptum bhajatam svadharmatah. A very important verse for us, which would give us inspiration to go on in Krishna consciousness despite our struggles and failures that may come sometimes. And Narad Muni gives very sage advice. He says, for a person who has given up worldly responsibilities, the varnashrama dharma duties, swadharma, tyaktva means to give up. For what purpose? Charanambujam harir, to accept the shelter of the lotus feet of Hari or Krishna. Even if, yadi, yadi means if, not that necessarily there has to be, but even if there is some kind of a fall down in the process. What is the fault? Yatrakvava abhadram abhud amushyakim. What is the fault? What is the loss? Even if one takes to Krishna consciousness, having given up all sorts of material duties, and one fails, one falls down from the path, what is the loss? On the other hand, if one has not taken shelter of Krishna, and one has achieved much on the material platform, what has one actually gained? Nothing. Because all the things that we have gained materially will perish. Whereas what we have gained spiritually by taking to Krishna consciousness will endure forever. It's like a spiritual bank account which keeps growing, and you can never withdraw from it. You just keep adding and adding and adding, till a time comes when that bank account becomes large enough for us to be transported to the spiritual kingdom of Krishna. So that said, all right, it's the most risk-free activity that we can ever do, the best decision in life, but it's not enough to take a decision to become a devotee and become one. One has to continue to remain one till the end of life, till we attain complete success in life. And as we become devotees, very soon we realize it's not just about me. It's about others as well. We are in a preaching mission. When we become devotees, we understand this is the best thing we have done and we must share it with others. So therein begins our responsibility for others. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, when he talks to Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, Suno suno Nityananda suno Haridas, sarvatra amaradhyaya karaha prakash, prati ghare ghare giya, e bhiksha karo, karo Krishna, bolo Krishna, bhajo Krishna, karo Krishna shiksha. Nityananda Haridas, please listen to me. Go everywhere and broadcast my instruction. What is my instruction? Go to every home and request them to chant the names of Krishna, to worship Krishna, and to accept the instructions of Krishna in their life. So when we become devotees, we understand it's not just about me becoming a pure devotee, it's equally about helping others to become pure devotees. And that's where the leadership question comes in. Therefore, every devotee is a leader in that sense. Because ultimately, what is a leader? There may be different definitions, technically speaking, of what a leader is. But the simplest definition of a leader is one who is in a capacity or a position to influence others. Very simple. It could be positively, it could be negatively, that's another thing. But we are in a position to influence the minds and activities of others. Whether it's a parent for a child, or a guru for a disciple, or a teacher, or a preacher to another person, we are all in a responsible position. Because now when we become devotees, we realize whatever decisions I take, there are repercussions that will be there not just for me, but for others as well. So we are all leaders. So the choices we make, the decisions we make, are going to have ramifications. So how do we make all these decisions? Making decisions, of course, is not easy many times. And especially when it comes to tricky things, troublesome things, then it's extremely, it's a topic of anxiety. How should one do this? How should one do that? In trying to further the preaching mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Srila Prabhupada's house of ISKCON, there are many anxieties that may come. The decisions that we have to take, from the smallest decisions to the biggest ones, may be fraught with so many risks and consequences that we may have to consider. Let me cite a little example from the Ramayana. And you may be surprised to know that I'm quoting as an authority none other than Ravana. Ravana was a demon, of course. He was a great scholar. Now, being a great scholar doesn't stop one from being a demon. One may be a great scholar and not a devotee of the Lord. One may be a great devotee and not apparently a scholar. So scholarship is not really the thing. The point is to become a pure devotee. In Ravana's case, we see that he was scholarly in terms of many, many scriptures. So when he was faced with the prospect of Lord Ram attacking Lanka with his army of monkeys and bears, and Hanuman had already wreaked havoc in Lanka and set fire to Lanka, and Ravana had got some taste of what was to come, then he became nervous. Otherwise he was fearless. But now, after Hanuman's depredations in Lanka, he became a little nervous. And he called his Rakshasa friends, his ministers, his counselors, and began to speak like a wise man. Now for the moment, we'll forget that it's Ravana speaking. Just take the content of his speech. Okay. Now Ravana says, "My dear friends, it is said in the scriptures that one should never take important decisions without good counsel. Therefore, you are my dear friends. I have called you to consult you about what should be the course of action now. You know that Lord Ram," he didn't say Lord Ram, he said Ram is on the other side of the sea, and sooner or later he will get here. What should we do? And then he said, "There are three kinds of people in this world: superior, mediocre, and inferior. Uttama, Madhyam, Kanishtha." These three Sanskrit words we will hear many times in different contexts when different phenomena or examples are being analyzed. So the superior person is one who takes decisions, especially before he's about to embark on a very important task. He consults superiors and friends who have a common interest. In accordance with the advice he receives, he proceeds with full energy, depending on destiny for the result. This is the decision taken or the manner in which a course of action is decided by the superior person. The mediocre person thinks over the matter himself or herself, then considers things in the light of his intelligence and acts accordingly. The inferior person, the Kanishtha, he has no faith in God. This is Ravana speaking. He has no faith in God. He acts whimsically. He has no sense of duty. He doesn't have a sense of judgment about what is beneficial and what is harmful. And he embarks on a course of action saying, I will do it no matter what, without consulting anyone. So these are the three kinds of people in this world. And then Ravana goes on to say, there are three kinds of advice. The first kind of advice is superior advice. Superior advice is that which is obtained by careful, objective consideration of the circumstances in accordance with religious principles. Mediocre advice is that which is given after heated discussion and which is more often than not based on self-interest rather than religious principles. And the lowest form of advice, bad advice, is that which is made out of a sense of false pride or a sense of wanting to flatter somebody without any consideration of the consequences of one's actions. Now, very wise, actually. So in one sense, Ravana's words have wisdom. If you just keep aside the fact that his heart was full of anarthas that drove him to act the way he did, but if you just take this section that he's speaking on, because he's quoting from the scripture, it makes sense. It's very wise advice for all of us. And although Ravana doesn't say it, but if we apply our mind from the principles of Bhagavad Gita, we can see the three modes of nature here. So the superior person is acting in the mode of goodness because he's very thoughtful, consults everybody, gets different opinions, understands things, sees whether they're in accordance with dharma or not, and then proceeds after thoughtful consideration. A mode of passion, a person in the mode of passion is generally proud. So out of his pride, he thinks, I can deal with it myself. I'm intelligent enough, I'm capable enough. And even though he actually may be so, he may be intelligent and capable, but that action may not be the wisest thing to do, because even though one may be intelligent, one is not perfect. So that's a person in the mode of passion. And as far as the mode of ignorance, yes, a person in the mode of ignorance doesn't believe in God, he doesn't have a sense of duty, acts whimsically, doesn't know what's beneficial and what's not. If you just look at the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it's exactly the description of the person with a demoniac tendency. And then what about transcendental decisions that go beyond the three modes of nature? We put Krishna in the center and devotees in the center. So what applies for decisions in the mode of goodness now will also apply for the mode of for transcendence when we keep Krishna and the devotees. So we come together with the devotees and we consult. Yes, there is Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, but then there are times when we are not able to ascertain very clearly, specifically what Guru, Sadhu, Shastra would enjoin in a particular circumstance. That is when we need to sit together with the devotees. The churning process takes place, which may sometimes not be very pleasant. And something emerges by the collective wisdom of the devotees. Now, one time in New Mayapur, France, probably 1975, in a conversation, Srila Prabhupada was saying, you must form... I think it was in New Mayapur. He said, you must form a committee. A committee and then take decisions. Sorry, that was in New Vrindavan, I think. In any case, Prabhupada said, you must form a committee and take decisions. And then devotee protested, but Prabhupada, that is democracy. You have criticized democracy so much by calling it demon crazy and so on. And you have spoken about enlightened monarchy. And then Prabhupada gave a surprising answer. He said, no, monarchy is out of date. Surprising. He said, monarchy is out of date. So although Prabhupada has said so much about monarchy in all his teachings, in his lectures and so on, to give us the principles of leadership and how real leaders were and should be, but he also recognized that in this age of Kali, where would you find the right candidate to become a qualified and perfect monarch like King Yudhishthir or King Parikshit? Very hard to find. So therefore, collective decision-making is the way to go. That's the process. So then he said, yes, you make a committee. You decide. If you have to live together, you have to work together. In this way, Prabhupada emphasized the need for everyone coming together, making decisions together. And another point that comes up, a last point before I conclude, and this was in New Mayapur, France, when somebody asked Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, you say that we should take decisions in our life with reference to authority, but what if we have to take decisions at a time when there is no authority available? Then Prabhupada said, Krishna will give. He will give intuition. He used the word intuition. He said, if a devotee is really sincere, then Krishna from within will give the intuition, give the understanding. And then he quoted the Bhagavad Gita verse from the 10th chapter, Tesham satata yukta nam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. For one who is constantly devoted to me and absorbed in service to me, I give him the intelligence by which he can come to me. So this is the principle. So the more Krishna conscious we become, the clearer our head becomes. The fog of indecision and confusion in the lower modes of nature get dissipated, and the clear conclusions of Krishna consciousness emerge. So therefore, we need to emphasize in our sadhana so that we can become, all of us, more and more Krishna conscious, come together, deliberate, do what is best for our individual and collective progress in Krishna consciousness, and also for the furtherance of the Krishna consciousness movement by preaching. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I will just take one comment or question, if any. Yes. Okay, the question is, how does one understand whether it is our unwillingness to accept an authority or the absence of an authority? Especially in a multi-inspirational scenario. That's not very difficult. If there are authorities around, there are authorities around. Hare Krishna. So when there are senior devotees around, or even contemporaries around, we can always consult them on the basis of Guru Sadhu Shastra. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.
How important it is for leaders to be successful in their